Hello and welcome back to Lost in the Long Boxes. I'm Ryan.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Joshua.
And on this episode, we're going to be taking a trip down memory lane and reminiscing about some comic book collecting anecdotes and everything. Some of our own, you know, various stories orbiting the world of collecting comic books. Before we get into that, though, definitely want to plug, as usual, patreon.com/lostintheLongBoxes. A little bit goes a long way, and there's some great tier-based perks available depending on which tier you should choose to opt into. Either of you guys have anything you want to plug for this week? Or we got Josh back finally after his sabbatical and everything.
Yeah, heyo, I'm back, and really excited.
Josh is officially back.
Yeah, excited to share some finds at local flea markets recently. Excited for next week's show as well. And yeah, I've been out on sabbatical. I've been exploring the inner landscapes as a psychonaut and dealing with
the inner verse.
And dealing with the average everyday bullshit that we all deal with. But it's really great to hear you guys' voices, though. And missing Steve. Oh, Steve.
We were actually going to do, because, you know, the episode Josh was talking about next week, Department of Truth Deep Dive, and we were hoping to do that today, but unfortunately, Steve can't. So Steve will not be joining us this time, which is weird because I feel like Steve's always around, huh?
Yeah, and this is kind of like a Steve episode, too, where we're talking about, you know, juicy finds or, like, remembering finding that really amazing comic book that sparked something in us or, you know.
Oh, I know. This is totally his wheelhouse.
Yeah. So Steve will have to just listen.
Yes, he'll have to just wistfully listen.
Maybe we'll do a part two with Steve so he can join in at some point.
All that out of the way, I can't think of anything else we need to plug this week. The weather's been shit. If you live in Canada, you're probably on fire. My doctor told me I had to get new pants because I got fat during lockdown. So
no more skinny jeans.
Who didn't get fat during lockdown? I've been going to the gym for the past 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, Bob's getting bulked out, right?
Try.
That's awesome.
Bob's going to be the muscle.
Try.
It used to be Josh that was the muscle.
Yeah, you could be the Immortal Hulk now.
Speaking of, we do have in the pipeline, we have an awesome new t-shirt design coming out. The artwork's done by Bob, and I think you listeners are going to really, really enjoy it. We'll be making that available on our merch page.
Yeah, by the way, I'm getting like two of those for free, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all getting one.
Okay, I just wanted to clear that up. Everybody else pays, but me, I should get it for. I'm just joking, guys. Go.
I was like reaching for the mute button on Bob. Like, oh, okay, I guess it's gonna be me and Josh this week.
So. Oh man, I got to tell you, Ryan, you're easy to get. I got you really good with that whole champions thing, and now I just feel like I have to.
Oh
keep
my
doing,
God, the last 2 weeks I've been railing on Bob to get champions online because me and Steve and my roommate all love it. And the other day I asked Bob, hey, where? You gotten champions yet? What's champions? What are you and you know, I grew up in a family full of fucking like professional gaslighters, so my brain just went right off. Like, no, this is not reality. No.
He's like, I've only been talking about it for weeks. I'm like, first time I've heard of it.
Oh my God. I really was. I was triggered. I was like, what are you, my mom? Like, what are you, my
Oh my God. That veil.
And when I realized he was like getting really upset, I'm like, dude, I'm just fucking with you. What the hell?
That veil between sanity and insanity is very thin at this current time.
It is very thin. We'll be getting into that next week for sure. So that's our little spoiler.
And we also know now why all these people want to murder me, you know?
Yeah.
Quite likely. I mean,
right?
You know?
I mean, I'm constantly plotting your murder, Bob. I mean,
right? I hear that about Steve, too.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep things really, you know, I got to keep you guys on your toes. So, you know, it's
well,
the Josh best I
has, can do. Josh has always wanted to be my favorite, and he's always viewed you guys, Bob and Steve, as a threat to
that. Yeah, I mean, I'm sending waves through the microphone right now, specifically to disrupt and destroy the eardrums of Bob. So hopefully we'll see the result after a few days.
That's right.
Ryan, you're my favorite. I want you all to myself.
Yeah, Josh plays the long game for love.
For love. And the love of comics. My God.
That's right. Speaking of.
Great stories and polls.
Speaking of, let's get to it. Josh, you want to go first since you've been gone a while?
Oh, man. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, by all means.
So get this, guys. Last week, I went to a flea market in beautiful Wilmington, Vermont. You know, the weather wasn't great, but it was good enough. Because it's been fucking pouring for 2 weeks here. It's been
crazy.
Right,
you were saying that. Swamp weather.
Swamp weather, but, you know, the skies opened up, and here we are, you know. And, of course, you know, I'm an old guy with a kid now, so flea market comic book shopping is, like, the greatest thrill in my life by far. So...
I mean, to be fair, I also share that feeling, and I am not, I don't have a kid. But
all right, listeners, like, if you're feeling bogged down and overwhelmed everything, simplify that shit and just get basic with life and go search for back issues.
Do it.
It's the most amazing thrill when you find, like, a diamond in the rough.
That's true.
And oh my God, did I find a diamond in the rough for $1. I found Ultimate Fallout Spider-Man No More issue number 4 from the Ultimates universe, the first appearance of Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Holy crap.
Wow.
And it's still in its plastic. Wow. It's in like perfect condition. I'm considering sending it to CGC, but that's a whole nother, you know, shitstorm.
Oh yeah, yeah. But bag of worms. There'll be another episode right there.
Yeah, right. So I'm just like, I can't believe that this is here. And I'm like, I bring it home and I'm looking at it, and I had to go through and make sure that it's the right, and it's not like a reprint or a facsimile, like a hundred different times. I'm like,
re-release,
I can't believe that I found this.
Right.
For $1. And this thing goes for, it doesn't really matter. It's expensive, right? Because Spider-Man is the biggest thing. Miles Morales and, you know, the speculation around these movies coming out. People fucking love their Spider-Man.
Also, Miles Morales is arguably a cooler character than Peter Parker.
He's definitely, you know, appeals to a broader audience and a more contemporary one. You know, Peter Parker's just, you know, one of us, nerdy white guys. I could totally agree with that. So, like, to find this for $1 in a box... I literally did like the pee-pee dance. I did a little hop and a skip. Like, look what I could do, you know? Like, I couldn't believe.
I know you did that.
I totally did. And I was like, $1. Can I have this for $1, please? $1. Here you go. And
nice. I love that when people don't know like what they have or what they're selling, but you benefit from it all. I'm sorry, I love it.
Yeah. Bob loves when he screws somebody over, is what he's trying to say.
Okay, so that segues into today. I went to just like a secondhand store in Hinsdale, Vermont. I'm not going to say which one because I don't want to call this guy out.
right.
You walk in, and immediately the guy behind the counter, of course, he's a step up, so he's above everybody immediately.
In Hinsdale, New Hampshire?
In Hinsdale, right? Yeah. So I walk in and, you know, he's the type of guy who's automatically, like, sizing me up to see how he can, you know, potentially screw me over. And, you know, I see the look. And I'm like, got any comic books? He's like, yeah, I got a rack right there. Check it out. Like, let me know if you need anything. So I'm looking through the comic books and he's just staring me down. And, and he, like, randomly pulls this box of crappy comic books and slaps it down and says, this $250 for this whole box. I go, yeah, right. There's nothing in there. I even look through this. There's zero in there. He's just being like, oh, maybe I can take advantage of this guy. He goes around the corner. He's like, in the glass case, I have Batman number 500 in there, limited edition.
Oh, yeah.
Selling it for
$500. If it says limited edition, you're not going to get $500 for it.
Like, clearly, you know, issue number 500, $500. The guy's a swindler. He's trying to take advantage of people.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I'm just flipping through what he's got, right? And all of a sudden, I come across The Amazing Spider-Man, number 252, the introduction of the symbiote costume.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I'm like, are you fucking serious? Like, there's a little roughing around the edges, I'm like, is this really, the coloring is a little off, you know? It looks like it's a little sun faded. But
it's been around.
I couldn't believe that this was the book, and it is. And I got, I snagged it from him for, and of course I did like that inner dance because I knew he was watching me.
Right.
Keep the poker face.
Yeah. But he could tell, like, he was looking at me. He could tell, like, my eyes must have bulged out or something like that. You know, he's like, $5 for that book.
He saw the full boner.
Yeah. He saw my inner eye boner.
Your eye boner, yeah. Your cornea started poking out a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And like, so it's like $5 for that. Thinking like that, he's got me. This
right.
book mm-hmm. goes for $2,000.
That is fucking, you have to go back and tell him that, please.
I was thinking about it right there on the spot of like put really just like laying into him and putting him in his place. Like, you are a charlatan. And now you have, after giving him the $5, being like, now you have succumbed to your own bullshit.
That's right.
I'm not a big Spider-Man guy, but man, I've really fucking knocked it out of the park. With these two pulls.
I personally like that old 90s. I know everyone hates like the Clone Saga and shit, but I like some of that old 90s Spider-Man stuff.
Dude, knock that off. Just edit that out of the...
No. Nope.
Really? That was horrible.
No.
Nope. That made me stop reading Spider-Man
well,
forever.
You know, to each their own, Bob. You know, I'm not saying that I'm right or you're wrong. Just I happen to like that. Not all of it, but some of it was pretty good.
Well, on the other side, you're both right and you're both wrong.
Exactly. I think I mostly just like Scarlet Spider, honestly, because I like the
no,
more
actually,
recent
stuff. No,
actually,
I just felt like it went too long.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I gave up because
it was like,
is it ever going to end? It doesn't look like it's going to end, so I'm just going to
stop. No, that I'll agree with.
And
that,
then that was
I will agree with that, absolutely. It did drag on for fucking ever, but there were some high points, though. People kind of
like,
overlooked
it. Like, we got Carnage out of it, so that's not bad.
Absolutely, we got Carnage. Got a bunch of other cool, you know, C and D list characters. Wasn't the Cloak and Dagger came out of that era?
Oh yeah, some dope characters. And man, I couldn't believe my luck today. I've been so excited all day.
I bet
to share this, awesome. And it's just like it reminds me of some of those older times of finding those books and being like, wow, this is here. For like this price,
that's great.
Yeah, so that's my share for like amazing pulls from random places. So go out there and like, you know, spend a Saturday, be boring, go to flea markets. You never know what you might find.
Me and Steve have talked about this before in past episodes because he and I do it at least, you know, once or twice a month, and it's totally worth it to just hit all the antique stores up, and you will be fucking shocked. Like just 2 weeks ago, I dropped. 60 bucks on comics, and I got home and priced them all out, and I easily made over a grand, you know, and that's crazy.
Nice.
That's not even like a grand if I did good and found the right buyer. I'm talking like if I halved the total of the worth of these, I'd still be at like a grand.
That's amazing. There's still, you know, there's still discovery in this like boring apocalypse, you know.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Right. I have to do that. I'm going to have to go to a flea market. I haven't done that for comics. I have done like the antique stores like Ryan did, but I never find comics there. I always actually find old video games.
Yeah.
That's cool, though.
I'm usually buying that stuff because I never expected. Like, my wife is doing it for furniture, so I go with her. And then, like, I just see, like, all these old video games. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll pick up a couple of these.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, I'm not a big video game guy, but if I was, I would probably be pretty stoked to stumble onto some old games. I never really come across them around here at the flea markets in central Maine, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a different thing. It's like I said, they don't seem to have comics or whatever. They had a lot of old toys. Like,
I see that a lot up here.
Ghostbusters,
yeah.
Action figures with the Ecto-1 and everything. I was about to pick up all of that because they were selling it pretty cheap.
Really? Because whenever I see action figures up here, man, like they are always hiked the fuck up, like $30, $30 to $40.
No, I'm pretty sure this guy never knew what he had.
Oh,
man.
Okay.
Again, I was buying these video games that, like, people are, like, really looking for, and they're, like, hundreds of dollars for one. I'm getting it for, like, $5.
Nice. That's awesome. Well, on that note, Bob, what is your comic anecdote?
Oh, geez, I have a whole bunch of them, but I'll tell you the first one that came to my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
In the house that I grew up in, my brother and I, and oddly enough, my brother's name is Ryan, we shared a bedroom, and our house was kind of old. Again, we grew up in Pigtown, which is in Baltimore, Maryland, and we had these, like, giant heating vents in the floor, like, in every room, and this is where, like, your heat came from or whatever. And I don't know, we were just playing around one day, like we took the grate off of that. It was like this huge, like, cast iron grate or whatever we took off while we were, like, playing in our room. And reaching back into this vent, we found this little metal box that was locked, right? And I mean, dude, we had that thing for like a month or two trying to, like, pick the lock with, like, paper clips and stuff like that, right? Could never get this little thing open.
Speculating.
And it didn't
on
even look like it was in bad condition. We had no idea what was in there. We could hear, like, paper stuff.
Now,
you know what I mean?
Now, Bob, if you're going to, like, implicate yourself or connect yourself to any major crimes, this might not be the format to tell this story. Right?
No. Finally, at some point, we just busted it open. And inside was just, I don't know, there were some old pictures, I guess, from the guy who owned the house before us. And some paperwork or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But there was a comic book in there, and it was Amazing Spider-Man number 28.
Whoa.
And, yeah, it was the introduction of Molten Man and Peter Parker's graduation from high school.
Damn. Wow.
And I looked it up on online before we did this podcast just to see, and now it would be about $3,000.
Yeah. Damn.
But unfortunately, I don't have it anymore because of a house fire.
Oh.
So that was gone. Yeah, yeah. But I did read the hell out of that comic like hundreds of times. But I was, like, completely careful with it. It was actually in really good condition.
Wow.
So that would have been good to still have. But yeah, but there's my good comic book find. Just by pure luck, me and my brother playing around in our bedroom in a house. I mean, like, we had just moved in there. Maybe a year or whatever, and we'd find this thing and then open it up, and that's what's inside.
Oh,
you
man.
Know?
That could have been so
I mean,
much
I may
worse.
Have been, like, 10 years old. Yeah. I may have been, and I wasn't even, like, big in comics right then.
Stories like that are so crazy. My grandpa once told me years and years ago that when he was a kid and everything, he was obsessed with comic books. Like, he was always hitting up the spin racks at the newsstand or whatever. And he had quite the collection. And before he went to, before he went to college, he kind of waffled on whether he was going to bring them or ditch them or what. And he decided, I'm just going to leave them at home. I'm just going to leave them with my mom back in York, Maine. And she ended up throwing it away, throwing all his comics away. And at the time, he didn't really care too much. But he was talking, right. He was talking to me, you know, in the more present, and by present, I mean, like, you know, over 20 years ago, like 26 years ago. But he was telling me, Ryan, if I had held on to that collection and given it to you, you would have been set for life. Like, you know, because he was so meticulous. He was so anal about keeping his comics in good shape. So, I mean, of course, like, the years, you know, would have gone by, but still, they would have been in pretty good shape, I think, if he'd...
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway.
This story happens way too fucking much where...
Way too much. Yeah.
That people's moms, yep. Like, hey, you need to grow up, you know, or...
Yeah.
Dad, you know, either military or comic books, choose. Well, I chose
actually,
for
I
you.
I was going to say, my parents were never like that. They fully supported... my whole comic collecting thing when I finally got into it, but I was like 15, 16 when I started that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's weird, too,
is... You and
Steve
have that in common.
You know what's weird, too, is that, like, I mean, I don't know if always, but oftentimes the reason is because your parents are trying to, like, make room or whatever and get rid of stuff that they don't use. But think about all the fucking shit that sits at your parents, if they're still alive, houses that they haven't used since before you were born that they hold onto.
Yep.
You know, like, why in their mind would an old broken, like, radiator from 60 years ago be, you know, worth hanging on to, but a box of comic books is, you know, what is the thought process?
You know? People's consciousness now around, like, people are very conscious of finding old comic books. So you kind of bank on, you know, hoarding people just like keeping the stuff and not knowing what they have and then giving it away or whatever it might be.
Yep.
You know, you bank on it. And the other great tragedy, other than parents giving comics, you know, away or throwing them away, having a good old bonfire, burning books.
Oh,
it's buried in the comics. Is like House Fires. It's fucking tragic, man.
Yeah, I vaguely alluded to that in the episode I did. Actually, the first episode of the show was about the history of blacks in American comic books, and of course that segued into the Comics Code Authority. Anyway, I didn't get to get too into it, so maybe in the future, if we all want to do a Comics Code Authority episode, which I've wanted to do for 3 years now, they were definitely doing mass comic book burnings, you know, like... Like mass bonfires.
I remember
in towns.
Hearing about that.
Oh,
yeah.
I found some interesting
photographs. Especially when it came to the horror comics. Yeah.
Basically, everything but Archie was getting burned, you know?
Wow.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, with the, Josh, you were talking about the house fire stuff. The house that I told you I found that Amazing Spider-Man in, that was my house I grew up in. That was my parents' house. And, you know, my comic stash was there, even though I had moved out. And, of course, there was a fire and took the whole house down. There's nothing left.
Oh, man.
Yeah, nothing survived that stupid thing. Although, I'm going to say this, right? I'm a huge Savage Dragon fan. I'm a huge Eric Larson fan.
Yeah.
And I was collecting Savage Dragon because, I mean, this was years. I don't know. It was years ago, but... you know, it was just like a couple years after like Image had formed and all these books were coming out, and my brother had actually stolen like a bunch of Savage Dragon comics from me to read, and I didn't know about it.
He
had them in his dresser drawer, and this is like one of those old oak solid drawers or whatever, right? That thing survived the fire.
Of course it did.
And like it was on the second floor. It was in his bedroom, and they threw it out the back window, and. We're, like, just going through the debris to see if we can find anything. And we open up the drawer to this this dresser that's just... I mean, it's burnt, right? Open up this drawer, and there's my Savage Dragon comics in there. They didn't even get wet from, like,
that's
the
awesome.
Water from the firemen or anything. They were just sitting in there. They were slightly warped, maybe from the heat or something like that. But yeah, those actually survived, and I thought that was kind of wild.
That's great. Now, you said that nothing survived that house fire. Now, like, people did, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, actually, my brother was in his bedroom playing, I think, World of Warcraft on his computer at the time when he noticed, like, it's an old house, so it was, like, horsehair plaster, if you guys know what that is. Like, some of that started falling off the wall across the room, and, like, the old wallpaper started, like, dropping off and stuff, and then there was smoke. And so, like, he ran and got my mother, because he was still living at home with her. I wasn't there. I actually had a friend of mine who drove by like 5 blocks away or whatever. And he's like, dude, there's like a bunch of smoke. It looks like it's coming from where your mom's house is or whatever. He called me at work to tell me that. And it was my mom's house. That was like how big the blaze was that he saw it like in the middle of the city and was like, could tell like where it was coming from. But yeah, my mom and him got out like way before that. But it was row homes. It actually took down 4 homes. It wasn't just my mother's.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't say anyway as if to dismiss your
story. No, I get
you. Don't really know what else to say after that. So, my anecdote, my comic book story for this episode is significantly less... it's certainly less exciting than Bob's story. And it's certainly less profitable than Josh's, but... So I grew up, I'm from Texas, but I grew up in Freeport, Maine. And if any of you listeners know anything about Freeport, Maine, that's basically like living inside of an L.L. Bean, because that's all that there was there when I was growing up, and basically now too. Anyway, never had a comic book shop. We had a comic book shop in a town next door called Brunswick, but it was mostly cards. It was mostly magic cards. Mm. Not really my thing. So when I was 16 and I was a troubled youth and all that, because everyone was a troubled youth back in the 90s, I was sent to Job Corps up in Bangor, Maine. And that sounded awful because Bangor, Maine is 3 hours from Portland, Maine. So it's about 3 hours from what most people consider civilization. So in my 16-year-old mind, I thought, oh, my God, I'm moving to the sticks. But Bangor, Maine's actually a really, really, in my opinion, nice city. It's a pretty big city, and it actually has an abundance of comic book shops. And, when I got the Job Corps, you know, I just remember being so, like, a lot of culture clash because I was a mega nerd. I was mega into comics, and most of the kids there, well, a lot of them were from like the inner city and stuff, and they'd been from way harder backgrounds than me, and I was just some nerd that you know, didn't fit in high school, and they definitely picked up on that. You know, they were like, oh, what the hell are you doing here? You know, like all the opportunity you probably had and you squandered it. And they were right, I did. But I remember being like taking serious comfort in discovering top shelf comics up in Bangor, and just like the first time I went in there, I went to their back issue section, and I was just so blown away. And, you know, now, if you listen to me and Steve's episode about the dark ages of comics, i.e. the 1990s, you'd know why. But at the time, I didn't. I was so astounded to find issue ones. All these comics, all these issue ones, issue one of Spawn, issue one of the Max, issue one of all these 90s comics, you know, and they were all like $4 for $1, you know, and it seems like a great deal, but that's because they were literally worth a quarter and probably still are. <you know? laughs> But it was just so cool to find like a comic book shop and B, all these issue ones of all these characters that at the time were the popular thing to read, you know, if you were a 16-year-old in 2003. So
right.
You know,
oh, that's so great. Like that's heaven on earth right there.
Ooh, heaven is a place. That song started playing as soon as I walked into Top Shelf.
Nice.
It's like the scene from the 80s movie. Just like everything stops, and I look over, and there's wind blowing my hair. I'm standing in the doorway of the comic shop.
Oh, Dreamweaver. Showing.
Yes.
Spawn number one.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Spawn number one, Youngblood number one, like Wildcat, Wildstar.
Yeah. Old Jay Lee.
I have all of those. Yeah. I loved Wildstar.
Oh, man.
I've got a comic store 5 minutes away from me, and I barely frequent it. And I want to. It's just, I'm like constantly like drawing this book or whatever, so I'm never doing anything else.
Yeah, but see, the comic book shop, you're not going to get the deals you're going to get at the antique stores. Ever. No way.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
Yeah, if you find any back issues of Sandman, Neil Gaiman's Sandman.
Why, are you serious?
I'm chipping away.
Actually, I have a whole bunch.
Wait. I just found a stack of them at the antique store 5 minutes down the road from me.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. I found nothing but Sandman the other day.
Oh, man. Well, hey.
Yeah.
You snatch them up for me, and I'll pay you back, my friend.
I will do that probably after we... Oh, no, they'll be closed. So tomorrow, probably after work.
Oh, man. I have such a hard-on right now. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. I think they had all the, they had all the like, 10 through... Issue 10 through issue 20 stuff, if I remember correctly.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. I'll send you numbers.
Yeah, send me numbers that you already have, and then I can go from there.
That's awesome.
I like that the listeners need to know this information, by the way.
Right?
They're vicariously collecting with us right now.
That's right.
I have a friend who gave me like several long boxes of his old comics he didn't want anymore because he knew that I would want them and want to take care of them. And I've got a bunch of that Sandman stuff in there. I've got a lot of stuff that he gave me in there, actually.
Oh, damn.
That is pretty cool.
Bob, I'm just going to hop in the car one of these days, Bob. I'm going to hop in the car. I'm going to drive down there, and we're going to do a live episode, like a Ghost Hunters episode, and go through.
Oh, no, we need to, because I haven't even gone through all the long boxes yet. I've got like 10 of them.
Oh, shit, man.
And they have like hundreds of books in each one. And like I go through, like I'll grab one and just go through, spend a whole day going through it and trying to organize stuff or whatever. Found like 30 ElfQuest original, you know.
Oh, wow.
Thing. I told you, like the first 10 issues of the Marvel Thundercats, like the first 60 issues of Larry Hama G.I. Joe,
yeah.
Like all the Elvira House what is it? House of Mysteries.
Damn.
There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, man. Stuff that I love that I don't think is worth anything or whatever. But it was like really cool having that stuff, and I was like, "Damn!" So I spent like a week just reading old comics. Shit. And again, I haven't even like I've only gone through like half of them.
Oh well, you should turn on the microphone and anecdote it for us. Who knows?
That's
maybe
right.
We'll put it on the show. But That'd be great, man.
What Josh really wants you to do is tell him what Sandman you have, so he can.
Oh, you know what, dude? I'm gonna have to go through and look at the numbers, because honestly, man, there was half of one of the boxes is like Sandman.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was a lot in there. So I'm gonna have to dig through and find out like what that stuff is.
Oh my god, my seat is sticky all of a sudden. I don't know why.
Well, that's probably a good time to go ahead and wrap up the show. So what about you, listeners? What do you guys have for cool anecdotes and stories, you know, surrounding comic book collecting? What sort of experiences have you had? Whether it's finding a really awesome, really expensive comic at some shitty guy's antique shop, or whether it's a harrowing tale like Bob's, or somewhere in the middle. Get at us on the Lost in the Long Boxes fan group. You guys are so quiet. I don't understand. I see you reposting the silliest things, and admittedly, I enjoy those memes, but my God, just post something in the fan group. How hard is it? Anything? They're so shy.
Yeah, let us know you're there.
Save Ryan from the brink, everybody.
they're just so shy. You know, I don't know how to get these people talking about comics. So please, please, any great stories you have, fill the comments in the fan group. And also, you know, we're all not that we're at a loss for topics for future episodes, but we're always willing to hear what you guys want to hear. If you have anything you want us to cover, let us know either in the comments on the fan group, or shoot us an email at lostinthelongboxes@gmail.com. So, yeah, once again, I'm Ryan.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Joshua.
This is Lost in the Long Boxes, and we'll talk to you next time.